Preservation's desire to create sentient life was what eventually broke the stalemate. In order to give mankind awareness and independent thought, Preservation knew that he would have to give up part of himself, his own soul, to dwell within mankind. This would leave him just a tiny bit weaker than his opposite, Ruin. That tiny bit seemed inconsequential compared with their total vast sums of power. However, over eons this tiny flaw would allow Ruin to overcome Preservation, thereby bringing an end to the world. This, then, was their bargain. Preservation got mankind, the only creations that had more preservation than Ruin in them, rather than a balance. Independent life that could think and feel. In exchange, Ruin was given a promise and proof that he could bring an end to all they had created together. It was the pact. And Preservation eventually broke it. 54. When Vin awoke, she was not surprised to find herself bound. She was surprised to feel that she was wearing metal manacles. The first thing she did, even before she opened her eyes, was reach inside for her metals. With steel and iron, perhaps she could use the manacles as weapons. With pewter, her metals were gone. She kept her eyes closed, trying not to display the panic she felt, thinking through what had happened. She'd been in the cavern, trapped with Ruin. Ellen's friend had come in, given her the wine, and she'd taken it. Gambled. How long had it been since she'd fallen unconscious?
"Your breathing has changed," a voice reported. "You are obviously awake."
Vin cursed herself quietly. There was a very easy way to take away an Allomancer's powers, easier even than making them burn aluminum. You just had to keep them drugged long enough for them to pass the metals through their body. As she thought about it, her mind shrugging off the effects of extended sleep, she realized this was what must have happened to her. The silence continued. Finally, Vin opened her eyes. She expected to see cell bars. Instead, she saw a sparsely furnished utilitarian room. She lay on a bench, head cushioned by a hard pillow. Her manacles were connected to a chain several feet long, which was in turn locked to the base of the bench. She tugged on the chain carefully and determined that it was very well affixed. The motion drew the attention of a pair of guards who stood beside the bench. They jumped slightly, raising staffs and eyeing her warily. Vin smiled to herself. Part of her was proud that she could evoke such a response even when chained and metalless.
"You, Lady Venture, present something of a problem," the voice came from the side.
Vin raised herself up on one arm, looking over the bench's armrest. On the other side of the room, perhaps 15 feet away, a bald figure in robes stood with his back to her. He stared out a large window facing west, and the setting sun was a violent crimson blaze around his silhouette.
"What do I do?"
Yeoman asked, still not turning toward her.
"A single flake of steel, and you could slaughter my guards with their own buttons. A taste of pewter, and you could lift that bench and smash your way out of the room. The logical thing to do would be to gag you, keep you drugged at all times, or kill you."
Vin opened her mouth to reply, but all that came out was a cough. She immediately tried to burn pewter to strengthen her body. The lack of metal was like missing a limb. As she sat up, coughing further and growing dizzy, she found herself craving the metal more than she'd imagined that she ever would. Allomancy wasn't supposed to be addictive, not like certain herbs or poisons. However, at that moment she could have sworn that all the scientists and philosophers were flat-out wrong. Yeoman made a sharp gesture with one arm, still not turning from the sunset. A servant approached, bearing a cup for Vin. She eyed it uncertainly.
"If I wanted to poison you, Lady Venture," Yeoman said without turning, "I could do it without guile." Good point, Vin thought wryly, accepting the cup and drinking the water it contained.
Water, Yeoman said, collected from rain, then strained and purified. You will find no trace metals in it to burn. I specifically ordered it kept in wooden containers only.
Clever, Vin thought.
Years before she'd become consciously aware of her allomantic powers, she'd been burning the tiny bits of metal she haphazardly got from groundwater or dining utensils. The water quenched her thirst and stilled her cough.
So, she finally said, if you're so worried about me eating metals, why leave me ungagged?
Yeoman stood quietly for a moment. Finally he turned, and she could see the tattoos across his eyes and face, his skin reflecting the deep colors of the falling sun outside. On his forehead he wore his single silvery bead of atium.
"Various reasons," said the Obligator King.
Vin studied him, then raised the cup to take another drink. The motion jangled her manacles, which she eyed in annoyance as they again restricted her movement.
"They're made of silver," Yeoman said. "A particularly frustrating metal for Mistborn, or so I am told."
Silver. Useless, unburnable silver. Like lead, it was one of the metals that provided no allomantic powers at all.
"An unpopular metal indeed," Yeoman said, nodding to the side.
A servant approached Vin, bearing something on a small platter. Her mother's earring. It was a dull thing, allomantically made of bronze with some silver plating. Much of the gilding had worn off years ago, and the brownish bronze showed through, making the earring look to be the cheap bauble it was.
"Which is why," Yeoman continued, "I am so curious as to why you would bother with an ornament such as this. I have had it tested. Silver on the outside, bronze on the inside. Why those metals? One useless to allomancers, the other granting what is considered the weakest of allomantic powers. Would not an earring of steel or of pewter make more sense?"
Vin eyed the earring. Her fingers itched to grab it, if only to feel metal between her fingers. If she'd had steel, she could have pushed on the earring, using it as a weapon. Kelsier had once told her to keep wearing it for that simple reason. Yet it had been given to her by her mother, a woman Vin had never known, a woman who had tried to kill her. Vin snatched the earring. Yeoman watched curiously as she stuck it in her ear. He seemed wary, as if waiting for something.
If I really did have some trick planned, she thought, he'd be dead in an instant. How can he stand there so calmly? Why give me my earring? Even if it isn't made of useful metals, I might find a way to use it against him.
Her instincts told her he was trying an old street ploy, kind of like throwing your enemy a dagger to make him attack. Yeoman wanted to spring any traps she was planning. It seemed a silly move. How could he possibly hope to best a Mistborn?
Unless he himself is a Mistborn, Vin thought. He feels he can beat me. He has atium, and is ready to burn it when I try something.
Vin did nothing, made no attack. She wasn't certain if her instincts about Yeoman were right, but that didn't really matter. She couldn't attack, for the earring had no hidden secret. The truth was, she simply wanted it back because it felt comfortable in her ear. She was accustomed to wearing it.
"Interesting," Yeoman said. "Regardless, you are about to discover one of the reasons I have left you without a gag."
With that, he raised a hand toward the door. He clasped his hands behind his back as a servant opened the door, showing in an unarmed soldier in the white and brown of Ellen's livery.
"You should kill him," Ruined whispered in her mind. "All of them."
"Lady Venture," Yeoman said without looking at her, "I must ask you not to speak to this man except when I indicate and answer only as I request. Otherwise, he will have to be executed, and a fresh messenger sent for from your army."
The soldier paled. Vin just frowned, eyeing the obligator king. Yeoman was obviously a calm man, and he wanted to appear harsh. How much of it was an act?
"You can see that she is alive, as promised," Yeoman said to the soldier.
"How do we know that this is not a Khandra in disguise?" the soldier asked.
"You can ask your question," Yeoman said.
"Lady Venture," the soldier said, "what did you have for dinner the night before you went to the party inside the city?" It was a good question to ask. A Khandra would have interrogated her about important moments, such as her first meeting with Elend. Something like a meal, however, was so random that no Khandra would have thought to ask about it. Now, if Vin could remember... She looked at Yeoman. He nodded. She could answer.
"Eggs," she said. "Fresh eggs that I bought in the city during one of my spying trips."
The man nodded.
"You have your answer, soldier," Yeoman said. "Report to your king that his wife is still alive."
The soldier withdrew and the servants closed the door. Vin sat back on the bench, waiting for a gag. Yeoman remained where he was, looking at her. Vin looked back. Finally she spoke.
"How long do you think that you can keep Elend placated?
If you know anything of him at all, then you will realize that he is a king first, and a man second. He will do what he needs to do, even if it means my death."
"Eventually, perhaps," Yeoman said. "However, for now, the stall is effective. They say that you are a blunt woman and appreciate brevity. Therefore, I will be straightforward with you. My purpose in capturing you was not to use you as leverage against your husband."
"Is that so?" she said flatly. "Why did you capture me, then?"
"It is simple, Lady Venture," Yeoman said. "I captured you so that I could execute you."
If he expected surprise from her, she didn't give it. She just shrugged.
"Sounds like an unnecessarily formal term. Why not just cut my throat while I was drugged?"
"This city is a place of law," Yeoman said. "We do not kill indiscriminately."
"This is war," Vin said. "If you wait for discrimination before you kill, you'll have a lot of unhappy soldiers."
"Your crime is not one of war, Lady Venture."
"Oh? And am I to know this crime, then?"
"It is the most simple of all crimes. Murder."
Vin raised an eyebrow. Had she killed someone close to this man? Perhaps one of the noble soldiers in Set's retinue, back a year ago when she'd assaulted Keep Hasting? Yeoman met her eyes, and she saw something in them. A loathing that he kept hidden behind the calm front. No, she hadn't killed one of his friends or relatives. She'd killed someone far more important to him.
"The Lord Ruler," she said.
Yeoman turned away again.
"You can't honestly intend to try me for that," Vin said. "It's ridiculous."
"There will be no trial," Yeoman said. "I am the authority in this city and need no ceremony to give me direction or permission."
Vin snorted.
"I thought you said this was a place of law."
"And I am that law," Yeoman said calmly. "I believe in letting a person speak for themselves before I make my decision. I will give you time to prepare your thoughts. However, the men who will be guarding you have orders to kill you if it ever looks like you are putting something unapproved into your mouth."
Yeoman glanced back at her.
"I'd be very careful while I eat or drink, if I were you. Your guards have been told to err on the side of safety, and they know that I will not punish them if they accidentally kill you."
Vin paused, cup of water still held lightly in her fingers.
"Kill him," Ruin's voice whispered. "You could do it. Take a weapon from one of those soldiers, then use it on Yeoman."
Vin frowned. Ruin still used Reen's voice. It was familiar, something that had always seemed a part of her. discovering that it belonged to that thing, it was like finding out that her reflection really belonged to someone else, and that she'd never actually seen herself. She ignored the voice. She wasn't sure why Ruin would want her to try killing Yeoman. After all, Yeoman had captured her. The Obligator King was working on Ruin's side. Plus, Vin doubted her ability to cause the man any harm. Chained, lacking offensive metals, she'd be a fool to attack. She also didn't trust Yeoman's comments about keeping her alive so that she could speak in her defense. He was up to something, yet she couldn't fathom what it might be. Why leave her alive? He was too clever a man to lack a reason. Giving no hint of his motivations, Yeoman turned away from her again, looking back out his window.
"Take her away,"